I know I'm thankful like the rest of you guys that were up here. You saved the best for the last. I'm going to save a little for the last because we have a summation. I've got my summation ready, and if you're going to grade us, I hope I get the best grade because I've saved it for 2 days already. And then I really got chewed out by Kathy yesterday because you didn't tell them this. You didn't tell them this. You know how the wives are after you speakers get done. Right, Roddy? I'm sure. Yeah. So I said, well, honey, look, every one of them is saving the best for the last. So I'm going to let you have for both barrels now. And I'm going to get into 2 Timothy because I'm last, and Ephesians 2 because I'm last. I know you did. I saw how you got into Colossians already. Oh, wow. This has been a lot of fun. It's been great. I've enjoyed it so much. It's terrific. Let's pray first. Thank you, Lord, for your love and blessing. We thank you for your very presence here today. And every day with the saints, we know that you are with them. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to remember each and every one of the saints in our prayers after we leave this conference. And we'll just ask you to be with them in all of their trials. Let them, let us know, trial after trial, that we can accept them with joyfulness, like Paul did, and rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And in any situation, teach us, Lord, that that's what we must do. We know that trials are just of the world and they're only temporary. So we just trust you, Lord, that we'll go through them and we will come in joy. Come in joy. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Okay, open your Bibles, please, to Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12 first. And I'll read, I'm going to try to cover everything that I did not cover, so I'm going to read, and I'm going to ask some of you to read with me, and then I'm going to go back to the structure that I wanted to cover yesterday. And let's start with verse 9. That you may be filled, pleroon, with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, upholding the head. Upholding the head is very important in that because it's a correction, and it's called a correction in the Companion Bible, so we should not forget to hold the head in our teachings and expositions. And there's some other references there that I'll share later with you. Verse 10, every good work, all pleasing, and the full knowledge of God increasing, being strengthened with all might by his glorious power, unto the endurance and long-suffering with joyfulness. Again, there's we're always asked in our long-suffering to follow through with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, making us meet or sufficient for the inheritance of the saints in light. That scripture there is so powerful and so wonderful that it's worth repeating, and I'm going to cover that, and I'll probably cover it again before I get done. Giving thanks unto the Father, making us sufficient for the inheritance of the holy place, or the holiest of all, in the light. And I think Jack mentioned that, and that thrilled my heart when I hear it. I would call that a sort of like a, well, it's better than Shekinah glory. And I'm going to, who is not familiar with Shekinah? Anybody, everybody here of Shekinah? Shekinah glory? Everybody's heard of it. Good. I'm going to talk about that after a while. So let's go to verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of sin and death, or the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, or has translated us into the Son of his love. And that also deserves a little explanation, and I'll come back to that. In whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. That forgiveness of sins is redemption, even the forgiveness of sins, is apolutrosis, which comes from the root word of luo, to loose, or to remove the shackles of bondage that we were in while we were yet sinners. And we've been released from that bondage through the liberty that we are given by the Spirit of the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty of God here. And that is also in Corinthians, I believe, is 3:10. But we won't go there now. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. That's speaking about Christ. Christ, the image of the invisible God. Christ, the firstborn of all creation. Christ, creator of all things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Christ, who must have the preeminence. Christ, who is the head. Can't say enough about him. Precious Lord, and lovely to talk about and be with. Head of the body of the church, Christ, the firstborn from the dead, and all the fullness was well pleased in him to dwell. For by all things were created, all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, together they be thrown, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And I have a calling there to the book of Ephesians 2:10, and we'll probably go there if we get time. I'm going to continue. I'm going to read to the end of this chapter. That way, I will have covered just everything, and I won't get chewed out about it. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And we'll put that deep in our hearts and believe that verse of Scripture and get blessed by it. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. In him all the fullness is well pleased to dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That is the basis of our presentation. There's a presentation that I mentioned yesterday. And there's another verse 28, that confirms it. This is the basis of it. And 28 is the confirmation of it, or the consequence of it. Verse 23, if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, for the sake of the church of the one body, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation And I've got a note here, see Ephesians 3:9, dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill or fill full the Word of God. That word fulfill is not as good as to fill full, because fulfill would remind you of like prophecy, like Isaiah, that fulfills prophecy when it becomes fulfilled. So in here, it would be to fill full, because we are the fullness according to Ephesians 1:23, where the church is the fullness, as Ronnie told us prior. Even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, what are the riches? Some are as follows. The Greek word is plutos, riches. And I'm commenting on that after I get back to the, after I get done with reading the scriptures here. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present, there's the presentation again, every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, who worketh in me mightily. There's that power word that was discussed earlier by, I think it was Bob, who spoke on that a while ago. And that was very good, Bob. I enjoyed that very much. The love part of it. That was really great. We need more like that. Okay. I have a note here for the word utterance, and I think I discussed that on my first night here. The word utterance is a prayer that we should pray and ask God for the utterance. That word utterance is spelled L in English, L-O-G-O-S, logos. And it's the same logos for the word. So we pray for the utterance of the word. And we pray for an open door for the utterance of the word. Just like we've had during this conference, every one of us has received the blessed opportunity to come forth with the utterance of the word and upholding the head, Jesus Christ. Okay, now I'm going to back up. I believe we're done with Colossians chapter 1. Any more verses to that book that anybody can find? I think I'm done with chapter 1. Now I've got one more verse. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working on. Oh, that's it. That's the one. Very good. Now I covered everything. I'm going to go back. Logos. Oh, the reference. I got that in 1 Corinthians 1:5. That's not in the prison epistles, but it's 1 Corinthians 1:5. Mm-hmm. Four, three in Colossians. Thank you. Did you get that? 4:3 also. Could you read 4:3 while you're at it? There it is. Door of utterance. And if we pray for a door of utterance, the Lord will honor that. And personally, I feel that he has honored that prayer for each and every one of you speakers. Jack yesterday mentioned that the people in the Church of the One Body are the only light that the lost and dying world has to be ministered to, that we are the light of the world. And that's exactly to repeat what Mike said a while ago, too, that this material is so awesome and is so important and is such a privilege to bring the mystery forth to the lost and dying world and even the people that are in Christendom. I know they love the Lord. I know they have a love for the Word of God, but they're too busy in their Christendom and their religious activities that they don't receive the meat of the Word. They don't receive the what the Lord wants us to receive. It's for everybody, but unfortunately, it's just hasn't reached everybody. Paul, he did the best he could. The problem there is that Paul got the hook, so to speak. I mean, the real one. I mean, I would take it too if I was to be on the stretching machine like Paul was. I believe I'd be ready for that if it was done as I was ministering the Word of God and holding the head, telling the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his inheritance and all the beauty of the Word of God, and government or religious folks would get a hold of me and put me on the stretching machine, I'd have to say, stretch on, friends. I'll count it joy. I'll be like Paul. The Lord told me to be like Paul. And he wants us to be like Paul. He wants us to be like Christ, even. 2 Timothy 4:8. I'm going to go and explore the Bob's territory here for a minute. 2 Timothy 4:8. This is Paul speaking. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That them also that love his appearing should actually read correctly, for those who have loved, or having loved, his appearing. Because if somebody just reads that all of a sudden, well, yeah, okay, I love his appearing. Thank you. Well, it doesn't work like that. Those who have loved his appearing. Now that appearing is the epiphania, the shining forth. I like the word that Brother Jack uses on that. He calls it the out, what is it, Jack? Outrain? Yeah, outrain. Okay, shining forth, an outrain, I would believe that would be synonymous, but it's the epiphania. Now, there's another word in the, open your books to, turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. We're going to be covering some items here where it will clear up some things here, hopefully. We'll start with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died. There's a change there. Not you are dead, but you died. And your life is hid with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Well, when you see that appear there in the appearance in 2 Timothy 4:8, it's a different word. It's a phaneropo. If you pronounce it the way it's spelled, it sounds more like phaneru or phaneru, something like that. But it's phanerao, which is found also in Epiphania. See? Epiphania. So the the word for phanerao means a manifestation or revelation. Revelation of what? Then shall you also appear with him in glory. You will appear together with him in glory. So what did Paul say over here in Epiphania, in 2 Timothy 4:8? Those who have loved his appearing. That appearing is the Epiphania, which is the revelation mentioned here in chapter 3 is the revelation of the Epiphania, of the shining forth. And it's actually the same thing. I don't have any problem with that. But you can find that by running a parsing of the word appearing. If you need that, if you're having a problem with it, why, unlike Ronnie, I just take it home with you. Yeah. All right. So much for that one there. I'm going to back up a little more here. Hina, that you may be filled. It again, there's plerao, but it's in the right inflection would be, I believe it's pleromatos, but I'm not sure. But the root is plerao, which you get pleroma to be filled, fullness, comes from pleroma. And hina is it's an adverb, not a preposition. It's an adverb that is preparing to tell you something, that you may be filled with the, it's over here, it's the full knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding in upholding the head. And one of the references is 1 Timothy 1:19. If you'll go there to upholding the head or upholding the faith, I think it is. 1 Timothy. Yeah. Got it? All right. 1 Timothy 1:19. Holding faith and a good conscience. Holding faith. Okay, now 3:9 of the same book. Holding the mystery, see? Same thing as holding the head. If you want to know, I'm just quoting Welch here. If you want to know the mystery, study Christ. If you want to know anything else, study faith. If you want to study faith, study Christ. Christ is the one. He's the one by whom all things consist. All those things. The all things. Tapanta. All those things. His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now here's another one here. Titus 1:9. I love the book of Titus. Titus 1:9. Holding fast the faithful word. The reference? Titus 1:9. Yep. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. I could include another one there, but I can't recall what the scripture is. But it's a holding fast. The Greek word is hupotupesin, which means to hold fast to the form of sound words, and the root of that. Tupos, which is the form of sound words. So hold fast to that, to If you're holding the head also, then you're doing that. Because it's a form of sound words, and they're his words. It's none of us can write that way. We're not the authors of anything except carriers of his precious word, like Ronnie mentioned a while ago. John 10, every good work, all pleasing, again in the full knowledge of God, increasing. Increasing in the full knowledge of God, upholding the head, all those things you can put together and take advantage of them and profit by them. As he strengthens you, right here in verse 11, being strengthened with all might, that'd be Colossians 1:11. And how? How does he do that? By his glorious power. I mentioned yesterday that before this conference is over, you're going to find out what kind of power this is that the Lord is talking about. And I think we've already found out by the last speaker here, Ronnie, when he spoke about that power. It's terrific. It's glorious power. And it's resurrection power. And it's love power. Love power, Bob. Yeah, that's power. It's grace. It's mercy. It's all the good things. Agathos. Good. Can anybody say Agathos? Yes, you can. Amen. Thank you. That's terrific. I told you the story about our the guy that helps me out in the yard and delivers eggs and sells me his freshly caught fish. I think I told you that story already. I don't want to repeat too much and lose time. So I'll keep going. Anyway, he says Agathos, really nice. It sounds good coming from somebody like that, you know? And it sounds natural coming from you guys. For him, it's Agathos. Oh, wow. It just drills my heart that somebody says that. So giving thanks, the following verse. Oh, skip something. Being strengthened with all might by his glorious power, unto endurance and long-suffering with joyfulness. Long-suffering and endurance, which is patience, comes always the encouragement by the Lord with joyfulness. In other words, if you're going to be tried by the Lord, sometimes you don't know if it's the Lord, you know. I mean, he's the one that holds the treasures of all wisdom. You don't know if it's of the Lord. You don't know if he just goofed and made a mistake. And you say, well, that blasted or whatever you were. Instead of saying, Lord, I didn't mean to say that. You're telling me to count it joy. I'm counting it joy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And I'm going to waste time telling you this short story. Kathy and I were sitting in the living room we need a sidewalk moved out of our front lawn. And you need a building permit to do that, see? So I saw this guy working on his tractor back there, and I said, hey, that's what I need right there to move this sidewalk. So I went over and asked him if he could do it while he's doing the neighbors. Sure, I'll be right over, he says. And I said, well, how much are you going to charge me? Oh, $50, I can get that thing out of here and put it done for you. Go ahead. Without a permit, see. And, well, I slipped up. Well, the following day, I was going to seed it. And I was shoveling there. I had a couple of shovels there. And here comes the one of the city councilmen. And I didn't even know he was a councilman. So he says, hey, Ed, what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to seed this thing. I had a bunch of concrete there, and it was ruining my mower. Every time I mow the lawn, I mow the concrete along with it, you know. So he says, do you have a permit for that? And this guy, I didn't know he was councilman. And I almost said, what's it to you? But I didn't. I know the Lord helped me to not say that. But I did say this. No, I don't have a permit. I don't think we need one for some. Yes, you do, he says. Hey, why don't you just get a shovel and help me with this? And Well, I still didn't know he was a consultant. See, and that I didn't know until I went in the house and I asked Kathy, is he a consultant? You didn't know he was a consultant either, did you, huh? Well, okay. It was a little late then anyway. So anyway, he came over trying to enforce the law, drunk and stupor. You know, he had been drinking, and that's why I didn't really respect him. But I didn't mention that except to Kathy and you folks. So that's fine. I didn't complain about that. So anyway, here comes somebody who I knew was a counselor. He wasn't drunk. And he said, do you have a permit to do that, eh? I said, no, I didn't think I needed one. Well, we just sent you notices last week. It was a Friday. I hadn't read them. I read that there was some regulations there. So anyway, to make a long story short, we were summoned to go to the next city council meeting. I said, we'll be there. I never did mention the guy was drunk because I said, honey, we're going to pray about this and we're going to go to the Lord and we're going to count it joy. Boy, Mike, I kept telling him the story. And Mike, he didn't help much. He said, Ed, they're going to come and get you and they're going to throw you. But pretty soon he knew that I was very serious. We'll be praying for you, Eddie. So, and to finish out the story, we prayed about it, and we counted it joy, and we went to the meeting that night when I'm advancing the story a week over, and Kathy and I went in there and praying and thanking God for counting it joy, you know. We sat down, and they called our name, and One of the councilmen was really nice. He says, you know, the sensible thing to do about this is to just let Mr. Madrona fill in what he had planned to do, seed it, and have a nice lawn, and he won't break his lawnmower anymore. That was the big gun there. All right, the guy that spread the dirt, I didn't know that he was the mayor. he was acting mayor. And he's only been a mayor for a week because the previous mayor had resigned, which I didn't know. And he also sweeps my snow in that fan for it every year. I said, well, this is terrific. Wow, see how nice things work out. We counted the joy. And that's the story of it all. And the one guy, the one that was drunk, he thought that I was going to mention something about. No, I didn't have to. You know. So he voted for the idea that this other guy said, to see that. That's what I had intended in the first place. And I went over there and I told him, not formally, but I said, I appreciate the wisdom you used for that. And I want to thank you for giving us a free permit. They gave us a permit, free, right there. And So we finished. Today, as we speak, we got a nice lawn right out there, real nice. They work. So thank the Lord. And the moral of the story is that with endurance, with patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness. It's hard to be joyful when something bad happens. Isn't it, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. We share a lot of stuff, but it takes too much time. Verse 12. I love this verse because we have a Shekinah incident there, and there's many. Giving thanks unto the Father, making us sufficient for the inheritance of the holy place in the light. Now, I looked that up, and if you have a question about that, take it home. Look at your lexicon, and you'll see that that word saints is not just saints like you folks are, or like the one you're looking here. It's not just saints. It's not just that kind of saint. It's also a holy place and a sanctuary. That's what it is. So, what I said, or do you want me to read the verse?
Well, I want you to give the interpretation that you said.
Okay, the Greek word is hagio. H-A-G-I-O. The accent over the I. I'm giving you English letters. Okay, inheritance of the holy place. In the light. The light, the definite article isn't there. And I shouldn't say definite article. In the Greek, you don't say definite article, you just say article. Because it's just article. You don't need to say definite article, it's just article. And there's 24 of them when you decline them. Or parse them. You can parse them down, and there are 24. Okay, the word tells us more regarding the saints or the holy place in light in the following structure element, which is starting with verse 12, the one I just read, the Shekinah glory, the saints in the light, the Epiphanion in 2 Timothy 4:8, we read that, the propitiation, which in the mercy seat of the tabernacle in Leviticus 16:2 and Numbers 14:10, and more. We won't go to those scriptures. But just write them down and take them home. I want to thank you, Ronnie, for giving me that idea. Take it home and study it. And look over those scriptures. Leviticus 16:2, Numbers 14:10. And you'll find something about the mercy seat. The mercy seat is inside the veil of the temple. And there's a cloud there. And the priest will come in and talk to the cloud, and that's Christ. That's Jesus Christ. Right? Really? And then you get the hook, huh? Well, you know what? I don't care now because I've got my summation already prepared. So whenever you want to call it time, we'll call it time. 5 minutes is fine. No big deal. I just want to talk about Shekinah because it is a blessing. I sent Mike something that I found out about Shekinah. And the author of it was Oscar Baker. And have you seen that study on Shekinah? Isn't that terrific? He's got so many scriptures where that's Shekinah glory. And I had been praying about Shekinah. I want to know a little more about Shekinah. And I prayed about it, and Kathy the next day, she says, honey, you want to hear something about Shekinah glory by Baker? Let me see that. And it's terrific. And she showed me those scriptures. And then little by little, I kept getting more and more and more. And Baker encouraged, he says, here's a few, he says, and you can find your own on this subject, Shekinah. And boy, you find them if you look for them. So some of the ones I find was this one here. Guiding Israel, that's the Shekinah. Oh, by the way, that's Christ. That is Christ. Take it home and find it. Guiding Israel as they crossed the Red Sea, a black cloud to blind the charging chariots. Can you imagine hundreds of chariots coming after you after they lost all those Jewish people who were making bricks for Egypt, and here they come charging after them, but a pillar of cloud, a dark cloud to blind them. Where are they going to go? Blinded by the Lord, you know, from the Shekinah glory. And on the other side, the pillar of fire by night to keep them warm and they could see, providing for them a pillar of fire for the cool nights, Shekinah glory. I've got a few of them here. Shekinah was for Adam also when he was expelled from the garden. The flaming sword and the cherubim there. And they look back at it and wondering, what is that? They never did find out what it was. Well, we know that was Christ. It's terrific. Also for Israel is Christ among believers today in the church of the mystery. In Colossians 1:12, I just mentioned that. We find many echoes with regard to the Shekinah glory of God as a result of an untold amount of spiritual wealth, as we find more on the subject on Shekinah. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Then I've got to walk as children of light in Greek here, which I won't pronounce now because we're not having a Greek class, but that's children of light. As in that glory that was in the temple, the Shekinah glory. Ephesians 5:8, we are made meet for the inheritance in the light. Shekinah, Colossians 1:12. The Shekinah is Christ among the believers today. In Adam, the flaming sword. Israel, the pillar of cloud. And I mentioned that already. And the pillar of fire. And even the church of the mystery today. He is our head. We are one with our head in the Shekinah glory of God. In that, I'll explain that here as I read it. In that the Lord gathered Israel together in a pillar of cloud. By fire, and he led them through the Red Sea. You would call that when the Lord comes for Israel, gathered together in the so-called rapture or whatever, and the Lord is gathering together in one the church and taking us with him to the Epiphany. Gathered together in one. In the Greek word for that is anakephalaio. Sastai, it's a long word, but it's to gather together in one. Remember seeing that in Ephesians? I don't have. Yeah. Well, it's there. It's on one. I think it's 1:10. And I know I'm running short of time, but let's go to another one in Joshua 5:13-15. And I'm going to ask Helen to read that for me. Joshua? And while you're looking for it, Joshua, chapter 5. Isn't that the one after Deuteronomy? Okay, chapter 5, 13 and 15. Okay, very good. You can stop right there. Joshua saw this figure out there with a drawn sword. And he went over there, are you with us or against us? And he didn't have to say, I am God or I am the Lord, I am Jesus Christ. He didn't have to. He revealed it to Joshua. He said, I am the captain of the Lord of hosts. He was here carrying a sword. And he says, take off your sandals. You're walking on holy ground. Joshua didn't have to go any farther than that. But he was, at first, you know, he didn't know. And he says, are you for us or against us? Flop. <Yeah. laughs> You know?
That was really important information. That was really important information to know whether he was with you or against
you. Yeah.
I think Joshua knew.
I tell you what, I just love that verse of Scripture. There you have yourself a Shekinah scene. Oh, and there's many more. And they're so neat to just go through them. I'll give you a list of them by mail. Deuteronomy? Did I say Deuteronomy?
No, you just said the gospel.
Oh, yeah. It's Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and after Deuteronomy. And I'm not going to wait to get the book, and I'm not going to give any more Shekinahs. You look up Shekinah and look up those examples on that beautiful subject, like Mr. Baker told me in his publication. And it was in one of those Truth for the Day. I love his studies. I just want to thank the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your many blessings. We look forward, Lord, to sharing again. Maybe next year here at Mineral Point. We'll look forward to that. But we look forward also to the South Carolina Conference. We know it'll be a good one. We know it'll be blessed of God, even Jesus Christ.